Hi everyone, it's Tracy Zemiska. I'm here with my friend Gretchen Horinger, and she is a yoga teacher in Akron, Ohio, which is how we met when I recently moved to Akron. She used to be the manager at the Lululemon Athletica showroom in Akron, and recently moved over to a company called Human Unlimited, and I'm going to have all of that information in the description of the podcast here so that you can connect with her and also Human Unlimited because they're doing lots of really cool things. And she is in charge of not just yoga type stuff, but also their content, media, and kind of their web presence to help network and get people more involved. So welcome, Gretchen.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I'm really excited too because of all the new stuff in your life. So let's just start though with, you know, just kind of getting out there. Why did you start practicing yoga? How long ago did you start practicing? What brought you to your mat? Like, what were you interested in?
Well, I was, I've been pretty athletic all through my youth, and I did gymnastics, I did dance when I was younger, and when I got into high school, I got more into running. So I was running cross country, I was running track, and carried that over into college, and at the gym or the student rec center, they had some yoga classes, and I kind of just stumbled into that as a complement to running, and was really blown away. I remember the one class where the teacher introduced crow pose, and I was like, ah, this is kind of cool. It's a little bit more challenging than I thought. So originally it was just kind of a complement, a more like the yin to my yoga or to my running, like hardcore yang. It was that softer side, but then finding all these challenging poses and just inversions and stuff like that really intrigued me. And so I kept practicing. And I moved back to Akron after living away for a while, and that was something that I never thought I would do. I never thought I would move back to Akron, and so there was a lot of emotional stuff there with that, that yoga, and really that's when the practice became more than the physical for me, because it was, then became this practical application of how do I manage these internal landscape of myself by putting these practices that I've done on the mat into use. And so that was when it really became like a daily thing for me.
Awesome. And when did you decide to go through your teacher training?
It was shortly after that kind of like realization that yoga was so much more than the physical, and like reaping the benefits of that, enjoying it, and realizing, you know, this is something that I want to share with other people. It felt kind of selfish just to keep it for myself. I was like, I see how powerful this is and how much it's helped me, and I want to be able to kind of return the favor. So the teacher that I was practicing a lot with at the time, Mandy Gordon, I reached out to her and let her know that it was something that was on my mind that I felt I needed to do. And she connected me with her teacher, who happened to be a Jiva Mukti teacher. And that was a book that kind of like really put all of the pieces together for me. And so then when I found Marnie Task was a Jiva Mukti yoga teacher, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I just felt like the veil was lifted, and I was like, I see the path in front of me that I need to walk down. And so I did my teacher training with Marnie Task, and have been teaching yoga now for the past five years. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. I think it's so interesting to hear like how everybody finds yoga and then how they decide to become teachers. And I think that it's definitely something that, you know, you should not enter into lightly. I think a lot of times people have this sort of instant love affair with yoga and become a little bit obsessed with it. And, you know, I know myself, and I have friends that have done that where it's like they start practicing every day at the studios, and they do that for like a year and a half or 2 years, and they're like, oh, this is my whole life. And something then, you know, you come to a crossroads.
Yep.
Where you decide, like, am I going to move forward with this and be a teacher or not? And I also think, and I have Michael, who was just, who I just recorded with not too long ago, he also went through Marnie's training, and I have a bunch of friends, actually, who've done Marnie's TT, and I think it's really important that you sit down and you know, find a teacher that really resonates with you and a style that resonates.
Absolutely. Well, and one thing too, just to kind of circle back to that point of like, you know, people fall in love with yoga and they're like, oh, now I'm going to be a teacher. I feel like to me it landed and I was like, okay, I found my path. I found my calling because I come from a family where everyone is in the medical field. Like there's doctors in my family and all the women are nurses. And so I've always been interested in healing and helping other people. But I had recognized that it wasn't in the cards for me, like, to be a doctor. I had shadowed my uncle. I thought for a while that I wanted to be a doctor, and that's how I was going to help people. And then, you know, after kind of doing that internship with him or that shadowing, I was like, no, you know what? This really isn't for me because I want to be a mom, and I want to have a family, and that is very important to me as well. And I knew that I wanted to do it kind of earlier in my life rather than waiting to build a career and then have a family. So when I found yoga, I was like, this is how I can touch people. This is how I can share with them the power of connecting to yourself and knowing yourself better in order to increase your well-being and your mental health and physical health and emotional health, all of those things. It was like finding what that tool was.
That's awesome. I think it's always funny sort of how we all end up here. Like I just always wanted to do something that would be helpful to people or to the world at large. And and not everybody feels this way or lives this way. And I don't necessarily think it's the right way, but some people are just sort of like, I am born and I'm living in this planet and I want to make it as my experience here as positive as possible and bring as much, you know, positivity to the world and help to the world. And I never could really figure out what was the right way for me to do that. Like initially I wanted to be a teacher and then I thought of going into social work. And because of the nature of my family, and I know I've spoken about this before, I come from a large family and probably at least half of which have substance abuse issues. And so codependency is sort of like you're born with it in my family. It doesn't really take a lot to learn it. It's just kind of there. And I luckily had enough like self-awareness when I was deciding what I wanted to do in undergrad that I knew that I wouldn't be able to handle, have appropriate boundaries and relationships with clients if I went into social work. So I chose not to do that. And then I decided I was going to be a lawyer, and that didn't work out for a number of reasons. And it was just not really what I was passionate about, and it's a very long story, but it was essentially a lot of the same things that you thought of. My life would be spent a lot more away from my family than with my family, and that was in addition to lots of other reasons I chose not to go that route. And I got a master's degree in urban planning thinking that that was a way for me to help people. And I could help, you know, there was lots of ways I could help. And then I found yoga. And my work through like yoga and Reiki and life coaching has probably been the best way for me. It's the healthiest way that I've ever been able to connect to people and help them without hindering my personal growth or hurting myself in any way. So it's just kind of funny how we fall into those things and find our paths in different ways and stuff.
Yeah.
So when you, I guess if you were talking to people about misconceptions of yoga or myths of yoga, what would you suggest, like the top five things, maybe myths that you want to bust or ideas that you really want to get across to somebody who's really interested in yoga but is kind of unsure like what to do next, where to go, how to start, or maybe feels insecure about walking into a studio?
Yep. Definitely. There's so many that come to mind immediately. And, you know, I've received questions from students like about these or around these exact same things. Like, you know, so if I start practicing yoga, does that mean that I'm a Hindu?
Yeah.
If I come to yoga, like, I'm going to be the only one there who can't put my leg behind my head.
Right.
Like all these, or like I don't have the Lululemon pants, so I'm not going to be able to do it. And I know I worked for Lululemon, so I understand, like, we make amazing, the company makes amazing clothes, but you don't have to practice in Lululemon to be able to do yoga. So Hinduism, like being super flexible, having the perfect outfit to do it, those are all things that definitely are, they're just not, I'm like losing my train of thought here.
No, you're fine.
They're really not important. Like flexibility is something that you develop by practicing yoga, in addition to strength and balance and all these things. They're built just like any other training program or physical training program. And then for me, like I was raised Catholic, and I know that raised some concerns when I told my grandmother that I was getting really into yoga. She was like, oh, well, you know, I think that's like Hindu worship. And it was like, no, it's actually not. And I had fallen away from going to church. Like I had kind of just totally dismissed religion, not religion entirely, that's exaggerating. I dismissed church because I felt like when I went there, all it was about was how much I could put in the collection basket, and there was no real connection with the people around me or the priest or anything like that. So I just wrote it all off. And when I started practicing yoga, I felt that connection again to something bigger, to something greater, to something more important than just the day-to-day mundane shit. And so I started actually going to church again. So I think the biggest misconception is that it's not a religious practice, but it is a very spiritual practice, and it can help you find a connection to something or someone, whatever you want to call that thing or being, whatever is up to you. But I think it definitely is something that will reconnect you with something beyond your physical self. I guess another thing I could say to you about yoga, and it comes back to why I wanted to be a teacher too, is that I wanted to reach as many people as possible with the practice, not just people that can pay $16 or $20 a class, because I think yoga is something that's valuable for everyone. And I don't think that offering a donation-based class is undercutting other teachers or studios. I also don't think that there's, an overpopulation of yoga teachers in the market right now. I think we have a huge opportunity for making yoga a regular practice in everyone's lives. And I know, I'm sure you've experienced this too. Like, we know a lot of people who aren't practicing yoga. Like, majority of my friends are yoga practitioners or teachers, but I also run into just as many people on a daily basis who have never tried it. So there's definitely opportunity there for us to reach people with yoga and introduce them to the benefits of this practice.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was actually just talking to somebody the other day about that, and I looked up statistics, and it's actually yoga is, from the National Institute of Health survey, yoga is the leading alternative practice or medicine that people use for mind and body practices. It's more than chiropractic work, meditation, and massage therapy. And it's about 9.5% of American adults practice yoga. And that's 21 million people. There's a lot of people out there that are doing yoga, and there's a lot more that can. That's only, about 10% of our population. So we definitely have an opportunity to be in a place where we're helping it to grow so that people are learning more about it and they're able to find, this place that offers them healing. And Yoga Journal actually teamed up with, if you go to statisticbrain.com/yoga statistics, their sources are Namasta, Yes, Live Strong, and Yoga Journal. And where we live in Ohio, actually 30% of the entire population of yoga practitioners are in the Ohio or Midwest area. So we're in an area that has, you know, a pretty large practicing population. And I think a lot of times one of the misconceptions that I always think of is that yoga is very like California West Coast based. But in reality, based on their statistics that they have found, 60% of the people who practice yoga in the United States either live in the Northeast or the Midwest. So it's actually kind of, you know, central across to the east side of the country that is the larger practicing people. So we live kind of in the heart of where people are practicing and doing yoga. And I think it's really important to offer a ton of different opportunities. And this leads really well into, there's two things that I definitely wanted to talk to you about today. And in addition to all the things that you're passionate about. And but from a greater discussion standpoint, you know, we talked briefly just now about the commercialization of yoga. And I know you and I are both on the same page that for us as teachers and practitioners and as ambassadors of yoga, we don't really care how people get to the mat. We just want people on the mat. And so however we can facilitate that as a teacher is what we are committed to doing. That's not necessarily to say, you know, to all of you out there that that's how all yoga teachers are, but I know that Gretchen and I feel really passionately and strongly about that, and almost to like a militant level of we should be making this accessible to people and why is that not happening. But the other thing that I wanted to touch on with you, and somebody else who I interviewed brought this up like after we did the podcast, and I want to cause like a greater discussion about this, and I'm planning on having a group of people sit down and talk about this at some point to make a podcast. We as yoga teachers are very judgmental, and we are probably like the judgiest group of people that exists, I think. And it's one of those things that, you know, it kind of offers this really weird dichotomy. We have this amazing practice that's very spiritual based and physical based and provides us with a lot of healing and love, and it's something that we do always to try to improve ourselves. But yet as yoga teachers, you hear it all the time, people gossiping about other yoga teachers or people trying to claim that they own things. I mean, Bikram tried to copyright and trademark yoga. And then just locally, you have a lot of competition sometimes. And I just wanted to ask you about your experience with that and if you feel like we are our own worst enemies when it comes to being a judgy group of people as yoga teachers.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that is pretty true. I've worked at a number of studios and have never felt really connected or close to the other teachers, and I think that there's a lot of room for opportunity in the way that studios are run and the way that building a team of teachers, that the approach to building a team of teachers, I think there's opportunity there. Because a lot of times it feels like, okay, well, so-and-so is the lead top instructor and they get all the classes and well, you're just somebody else. So, like, we'll just fit you in wherever we can. And I think people see through that or they see that that's the vibe you're putting out and they pick up on that. So people are very intuitive and they're like, oh, well, there's a hierarchy here. And I don't think that that's the way it should be, especially when we're talking about a practice that preaches inclusivity and oneness. I don't think that we should be ranking teachers above one another. Also, I just haven't felt like it was very encouraging, you know. So I've encountered too in making this switch to going to a non-traditional style of a studio, like we're running on a donation base. There was a lot of negative response to that and kind of something I had mentioned before about people saying that we were undercutting the market and devaluing yoga. Well, I quite frankly just think that that's bullshit. I don't think that yoga is only for the people that can pay $16 to $20 a class. I think that sounds like exclusivity to me. And my goal as a yoga teacher was to touch or is to touch as many people as I can to get as many people to try yoga as possible. And if that means removing the financial barrier, removing intimidation of, you know, religious symbols, all of that, then I think that that's a really easy solution. Like, make it donation-based. You pay what you're able to pay. And it's not that it's free yoga, but when you think about it, I would rather have someone who is going through a really rough time, maybe depressed and feeling hopeless because they don't have a job, come and put four quarters in our donation bin and take a class and leave feeling like they believe in themselves again and start to apply for a job so that they can pay for classes down the road instead of say, well, sorry, you're poor, you can't do yoga.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that brings up a really good point, too, is that so many people, like when you talk to yoga teachers about why they do what they do, so many of us have found salvation in yoga. So many people will say, yoga saved my life. Being on the mat yeah. saved my life. It changed me. It helped me through really dark times. It's what always saves me and always helps me. And so I think that's why it's so critical that, you know, and we'll get into what Human Unlimited is doing too soon, but I think that's so critical about what you guys are doing and what your mission is because, you know, there's room, I think, in the yoga world for everything. There's room for the naked yoga classes and the hot yoga classes and restorative and, you know, the TRX vinyasa classes and all of that, you know, the bhakti, everything that's happening, everything that's changing. I think there's room for all of that. There's also room for places that charge $20 for a drop-in, and then there's also room for places that say pay what you can.
Yeah.
You know, and absolutely. So why is one formula more valid than the other? And I think the thing that I love most about how Human Unlimited operates is the pay structure too, because teachers generally, and for those of you who don't know, I haven't really addressed this in any of the other podcasts, but for those of you who are unfamiliar with how teachers get paid, and I don't know why this is so taboo to talk about because people don't know this. And whenever I talk to students about it, they're like, oh, I had no idea. Like it's some big dirty secret. Most yoga teachers are paid generally speaking, in most yoga studios, they are paid either a flat rate or a flat rate plus per head. And some studios pay just per head. So one of the studios that I work at pays a $30 flat rate for the first 10 students and then $3 per head after 10. Another studio that I've worked at in the past paid us $2 per head, no flat rate. I've worked at studios that pay, you know, $20 for the first five, $3 per head after that. So those are the different kinds of formulas that exist. So when you're coming to a class and you walk into that classroom, and a lot of the studios that are very popular that happen to be stereotypically hot vinyasa studios often also charge higher. So if you go into a class and let's just say that there's a, you know, $20 drop-in fee and you're in a classroom with 20 people, that teacher who's teaching that class is receiving a very small fraction of what has been paid for the people in that room. And it's not that yoga teachers are saying, hey, that's not fair, we should be making more money. But really, in this idea of exchange of energy and exchange of love, it's not fair. It's not fair mm-hmm. to base, because as we were discussing before, there's choice time slots. And a lot of times yoga studios operate like a restaurant. If anybody's ever waitressed, you know that it's a hierarchical system and the people who've been there longer get the choice shifts, so they make more money. Mm-hmm. And that's how yoga studios operate generally too. If you've been there for a long time, you usually get first pick when a prime time spot opens up, and then it will filter down to who's ever next and newest on the block. And what that does is it really limits people's ability to grow as a yoga teacher because they're not being exposed to lots of different time slots and people who can come to the classes. But it also limits their ability to have income. And what that then does is drives competition between yoga teachers. So they are less likely to recommend another teacher for students to try their classes, etc., because it's taking away from their pocketbook. So mm-hmm. if you want to discuss what you guys do at Human Unlimited, and you don't have to say like actual numbers if you don't want, but it's my understanding you guys are paid a flat rate regardless of how many people are there.
Yep, we do a flat rate, and it's well above industry standard because just for that exact reason, we didn't want there to be competition among our teachers. Well, like so-and-so is going to make more money because they're teaching at that 6 p.m. time slot that's always full. Well, we just don't want that energy. So we're paying everyone a flat fee. So everyone gets paid the same amount, whether there's 10 people in their class or 40. And because they're coming and they're giving the same energy, they're giving the same amount of passion, no matter what time slot they're teaching to or how many people that they're teaching to. And we made sure that our flat rate was above industry standard because we value our teachers. So like you said, some studios will pay a $30 flat rate, and I can say that ours is over double that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important for people to know, you know, kind of where this all comes from. And what's nice about that from a teacher perspective is if I'm teaching at a studio that's paying me a decent amount of money and contributing to, like, my living expenses or my life, you know, if I'm being paid a decent amount, I don't necessarily have to teach as much. And I also can focus more on spending my time building up what I'm going to be doing in my class than on the internet trying to promote my classes.
Yeah, and that was something, yeah, we really wanted to address because I've experienced it. Like, I lost my 9-to-5 job when I was 5 months pregnant with my first son. And so it was like, okay, universe, this is the way I'm going to choose to look at it. You are granting me that wish that I had to teach you to be a full-time yoga teacher. Is it coming at the most opportune time? No, but here's my chance to go full-time teaching yoga. And so at 5 months pregnant, I was trying to pick up as many classes as I possibly could because that was $30 a class, and there are only so many time slots, so I was teaching at as many places as I could and teaching as many classes as I could and then putting together workshops because that was another way for me to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but that's an energy drain because then, you know, that was a point too when I started teaching yoga classes in my sleep because I was so like on autopilot in doing it that it really, I probably was not offering my most authentic, creative, passionate self in those classes because I didn't have the time or energy to do it. I was just literally trying to teach as much as I possibly could.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, I teach about 13 classes a week plus my privates. And if I have any special events, and there are some weeks where I'm lucky if I can take a shower every other day because I'm so busy. And I think that, you know, people, that's the downside of yoga. That's the side that's not talked about and not discussed. And none of us want to bring any negativity to our lives or to what we do. But the reality is if you are going to do yoga full time, it is a challenge, and you do have to find ways to, you know, workshops is a great example, privates, if you're able to offer any sorts of trainings or anything. It's an extra way for you to kind of make some extra money to have that cushion. And certainly yoga, like many other things, is cyclical, and it is impacted by the seasons when you live in certain places. So in Ohio, we don't have, you know, this great weather all year round. So when the summertime comes, oftentimes you see a huge dip in attendance rates at yoga studios, and it has nothing to do with the teacher. It has all to do with the weather, and that people are able to stay outside longer because we have more daylight, and they miss that. You know, we have a long winter, generally speaking. So there's a lot that impacts, you know, people's ability to make money as a yoga teacher. And I think that what you guys are doing at Human Unlimited, not just for the students, but also for the teachers, is hugely important. And I hope that it's a trend that will start to spread because, you know, when I was investigating the idea of opening a yoga studio, I wanted to be able to pay a flat rate and not have the teacher's pay be linked to the attendance so that they were able to not have that stress and just come in and be a great teacher.
Yep.
That so why don't we talk about – sorry, go on.
Oh, no. I said – and that should be what your job is, to come in and teach a really great class from an authentic, wholehearted place and not just, you know, swap something together because you have to teach that class.
Right. So let's talk about first, because I think this is really important to share, and especially from, and you can go as deep as this as you want. I met you almost a year ago, I think, and your life is drastically changed in this past year. I mean, from when I met you last year to today, your life is completely different than it was in terms of what you were doing for your job and how you were managing your life, and even being able to navigate, you know, your different roles. You are married, and you have two children that just changed ages, so they're 3 and 1, and you were also the manager at Lululemon and a yoga teacher. And so I don't know if you want to talk about how all those hats, it's hard to balance that, and how you found that balance, and if yoga was able to help you with that balance, and then how you transitioned to where you're at now.
Yeah. No, I can say during that time period over the past year when I was at Lululemon, it was a job. It was a great job. I loved going to work each day, but it was just very fast paced, and it seemed like it was around the clock. I was working with a lot of people that didn't have kids, and so they would go home and they could do creative things. They had time to go take some extra classes, and when I came home, it was time to get dinner ready for the family and then put kids to bed and do laundry, and then I, you know, would get stressed out because I had all these emails in my inbox from people that didn't have kids that were up late working, and it started to weigh on me, like, to weigh on my self-worth, and, like, how am I performing? I'm not performing up to my standard, and then feeling resentful because, like, well, because I have a family and they don't, and I just didn't like the place that I was in. And then, you know, because of all the time demands of work, being at the showroom and then being at events afterwards and family and all of that, there was not much time for my own practice. So there was, you know, weeks would go by when I wasn't sweating, and, you know, that was supposed to be part of my job. So when this opportunity to go to Human Unlimited as their community outreach manager and to develop this untraditional, new, very radical new way of doing yoga came into my lap, I was like, yes, hell yes, absolutely, sign me up. I am so ready to do this because it combined everything that I loved. And part of my job was to tap back into, like, to that creative side of myself. And the job created that space for me to find inspiration and to share that inspiration with people through teaching and through community outreach programs. So creating partnerships so that the yoga can live beyond the walls of the studio and help other people change their lives too. So yeah, a huge dynamic shift.
Yeah, that's awesome though. It's really exciting that you know, you've had those opportunities. And also, it's just kind of a testament to, and people, you know, you can go wherever you want with this, whatever your belief system is. But I do think that when you take time to really chart a path and say, and not specifically, but just kind of, I think that it comes, you know, I think that that stuff, like, it's just dropped into your lap.
Yeah, and again, it's nothing, like, I don't want my statement about, like, my time at Lululemon to be misconstrued at all. Like, it was a great job, and I love the people that I work with, and it came at a perfect time in my life when I was teaching yoga full-time and trying to make as much money as I could to help support the family, and then running into issues of, like, again, feeling like this, am I contributing enough? Is what I'm doing enough? Just being a yoga teacher and just being a mom. And this opportunity with Lululemon came to me, and it was great because it did. It bolstered my self-esteem and showed me that I'm not, I need to take those words just out of my vocabulary. I'm not just a mom. I'm not just a yoga teacher. I am both of those things, and I do them damn well, and I can run a successful business too. Right. So it was really like a shot in the arm for me to recognize my own power and abilities. And I think having that in my life, it kind of created the space for this next opportunity to manifest, which is like literally my dream job working with Human Unlimited. It's incredible. And getting
That's
paid
awesome.
To do what I love.
Yeah, for sure. So share a little bit about what Human Unlimited is, what your main goal is or focus, and kind of like how you guys started and the different things that you offer and stuff.
Yeah, so Human Unlimited, we originally intended to start as a yoga studio, but there were some things that, you know, happened with leasing and the contract agreement and all of that, and the timetable wasn't matching up. So our founder, Brian, walked away from it and said, you know, I don't want to force this. So he stepped away for a little bit and was like, you know, this brand and this idea is still, there's still something here that needs to be put out into the world. So if it's not going to come through in a yoga studio first, then let's get our brand known, and we're going to do it through t-shirts. So our whole idea is to spread ideas and unleash potential. And our main vehicle for doing that right now is t-shirts. We're in the process of growing our product line, so soon we'll have more to offer than just t-shirts. But right now, if you go to our website, that's what you'll see there. And then what I was brought on to do was to basically bring to life the yoga branch of our brand. And what we want to do, again, is spread ideas and unleash potential, whether that's through a t-shirt or through an experience in a yoga class. We want people to realize that they have the power themselves. Like, you don't have to look for something outside of yourself, but we want to just create the space and experience for people to realize their potential. And that's another key factor in us offering donation-based yoga classes. So removing the barriers, removing the walls, the limitations, and letting people experience yoga, fall in love with it, and then they'll start to look for other opportunities. So like we've said to some people who have had a little bit of pushback and those comments when we get like, oh, you're devaluing yoga, blah, blah, blah. We're trying to get more people to practice yoga. That's the end-all, be-all for us, is that we want to get people on their mats. And really what we're doing is growing the whole yoga population. So like you were saying, there's space for the hot vinyasa classes, the naked yoga classes, but mm-hmm. no one's ever going to go to those if they don't practice yoga first.
Right.
You've got to get them on their mats initially, and then they'll start to explore and find like where they really fit in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I also wanted to mention on the, and I'm going to, like I said before, say, put all the links down in the comments so that you guys can find them. But Human Unlimited does this really cool thing where they live stream their classes on Facebook. And so you obviously don't have to pay for it. You just go to their Facebook page before the class starts, and you're able to start the live stream. And I think those are saved and available for people to watch afterwards. Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely.
So if you, you know, anywhere in the country or the world have time to practice during their classes, which are 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m., is that what you guys have right now?
Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m., noon, 6 p.m., and then we added Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Awesome.
So 5 days a week, yep.
Yeah, that's great. You can definitely check all that out there. And then I also just wanted to talk about, Gretchen, like where, how do you find the balance of being mom and basically entrepreneur? I mean, you are not necessarily the owner of Human Unlimited, but you're driving the growth of that business. And so you're still working in that capacity. So do you find that there is a struggle to get all of it done?
I think, I mean, it's just life. Like, before I had kids, I felt like there was never enough time. And then you have kids and you do have less time. So I think it's just a matter of how you want to look at it and how you want to prioritize what's important to you and what you know will help you be the best mom, partner, businesswoman, whatever it is. So I think it's just being really honest with yourself, like recognizing when you need the time and space to go take a class, go for a run, go sit in a coffee shop and read for an hour, and asking for those things, because people are generous and want to help. And that's been a big thing for me in becoming a mom, is asking for help and knowing that that's not a sign of weakness and it's not a failure, but allowing people to help me with things around the house, with taking the kids for an hour or overnight. Like, grandmas are amazing. I don't know where we would be without my mom and my husband's mom. But that's just, yeah, a huge thing, is recognizing when you need you time and then asking for it. That's the only way that you can keep things in balance, really. So it's, again, I'm not saying by any means that I have this perfectly figured out. You can ask my husband. but it's definitely a practice, and just checking in with yourself every so often to ask, what do you need? And knowing that that's not selfish. It's not selfish at all.
Yeah, I think it's really important for, and I try to say this, you know, in my classes and with my clients, especially my private clients, there is this level of mimicking, you know, that we do. And a lot of times, and I find this a lot with women especially, we generally need some sort of permission to, whether it's subconscious or not, to do things or to act. And one thing that I like to remind people is your ability to be a good functioning person in whatever role it is that you have, whether it's mom, partner, you know, business owner, yoga teacher, whatever your roles are, is first to be taking care of yourself and to build a strong relationship with yourself and to show yourself a ton of self-love. And what will happen a lot of times is the people around you then see you as an example without you even realizing it. And you grant permission to other people to perform acts of self-love when you do them yourself. So I think the greatest gift, you know, that parents can give their children is showing them how much that parent loves themselves. And, you know, giving the children an example of, I need the time, mommy needs a time out. So mommy's going to go on her yoga mat and take, you know, 20 minutes to be by herself because that's going to make her a better mommy. And at some point, you know, your child is going to get that and say, I need a time out. I need to do this for myself. And I also think it helps people verbalize their needs better when we are, you know, just getting in touch. But so, and that's what I always try to say to people, like, you know, share of yourself and share what you're doing and with your coworkers. If you love going to yoga and there's a class that you love, invite them to come along or let them know that you're doing it. It's okay to say, you know what, it's 5 o'clock. The workday's done. I need to get to yoga class.
Yep. 100%. And I think something that's really important too that I've brought to a couple of my classes recently is like owning how you feel, and especially having kids, like showing them, like, you know what, mommy isn't happy all the time. Like sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I get frustrated, and then showing them healthy ways to deal with those feelings or to process them instead of just plastering on a smile and saying, no, I'm good. Because I feel like a lot of times we just get into a habit of that when someone asks, how are you? We just say, like, automatically respond, I'm good. And I think I encourage myself and I encourage students that come into my classes to be real with how they feel, to be honest with how they feel. Because if you can't be honest with yourself, then who are you going to be honest with? And it's okay to feel frustrated, to feel upset, to feel angry. Like, those are all human emotions. Totally okay to feel those, but then decide to create the space to ask yourself, like, how am I going to process this energy? How am I going to process this emotion? What do I need to get through this in a positive way? And, you know, sometimes, like, it's calling up my mom and saying, hey, can you take the boys for a weekend because I have a shit ton of laundry that needs to get done, and having a clean house, like, that makes me feel more at peace sometimes, you know?
Or totally.
Saying to my husband, hey, I had a really stressful day today and I just need 30 minutes to go on a run. And then, you know what, the rest of the evening, I am a much better mom than if I'm carrying around that frustration and anger through the rest of the night.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I've found is because I'm not good at the bullshit. Like, I'm good at just being me, and I'm best at being like an uncensored version. I always joke that, like, the one thing that yoga has helped me with is that it's made some distance between my brain and my mouth, because generally my lips are connected to my brain and there is no time between the thought and speaking the thought. So yoga has been able to create a little bit of distance between that, and sometimes it's very helpful because I respond in a way that is much more beneficial and constructive than I might have had I not had yoga. But You know, it's really kind of funny. I have been through so much in the last year, and there are definitely days where life feels really awful, and people will say to you, oh, how are you doing? And when I respond, like, honestly, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm not asking them to fix it. I don't, you know, I don't need you to your solutions or your advice or anything like that. But if I say, hey, I'm having a really tough time, here's why I'm having a really tough time, it's okay to be like, you know what, that really sucks for you, and I'm sorry that you're going through that. And you can leave it at that. Like, people aren't asking for solutions. But I think the more, and you can tell the people who are really in touch with their feelings and their emotions and know how to process them appropriately, when you say that to somebody who lives that way, they will immediately respond with support and really gentle support that's not problem solving and understanding. Mm-hmm. And then the other people who really don't have that vocabulary kind of freak out, and they're not exactly sure what to say to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of times, I mean, what people need is just to be heard, or even just to feel like they've been heard. Like you said, they don't need you to solve the problem for them. They don't need you to make it go away. They don't need you to say the perfect thing. They just need to know that what they're feeling has been verbalized and heard by someone else.
Totally. Totally. And I think that sometimes, you know, people just sort of they're able to process better when they speak out loud what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the practices that I have. Like, I've been really struggling lately with worth, and I would love to, in the future, have a podcast conversation with you where that's all we talk about is self-worth and how do we help manage those feelings of lack of worth and stuff. But, you know, lately I've been really struggling with that idea, and it comes from lots of different things that are going on in my life right now. But oftentimes what happens is if I say all of, like, the dirty, dangerous bullshit that's happening in my head out loud, I'm able to then break it down and say it's not true because of X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
And I can deal with it in an intellectual way and discount those false beliefs and say out loud, that's not true. That feeling that I'm having is not true, and here's why it's not true, and here's what's proving that wrong. And I think that it's really valuable to start to have that vocabulary and that to be able to express yourself in a way that, you know, you can identify the issue and what's making you feel the way that it, that you're feeling, and then figure out how to move beyond that.
Totally. It's kind of just like you were talking about creating that space between your mind and your mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you just let that stuff swirl around in your head, the chitta vritti, like the mind stuff, if you just let that swirl and swirl and swirl, it will build. It's like a snowball. Like, it just gets bigger and more poisonous. But if you can get it out, whether it's verbally by just saying those things that you're thinking or writing them down, suddenly you've created the space to see and to hear how ridiculous that stuff is. And talk yourself down, like, or talk yourself through it, actually, by, like you said, intellectualizing it and say, that's not true because X, Y, and Z. But it's just a matter of creating that space, that powerful, powerful space to gain some perspective and see that that is not true.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's one of my favorite gifts that yoga has given me. And you know, what you and I do with yoga is very similar, and I try to really have a place of safety and empowerment, you know, for my students. So I think it's good that we have these discussions to help share, you know, how we handle stuff and you know, to remind people, just because we're yoga teachers doesn't mean we're any more evolved than anybody else. And
exactly.
We are still on this journey, and we are learning things every day, too. And we make huge, like, missteps and fuck-ups that we have to try to apologize for and figure out what to do best after that. So I think it's always important, you know, to share that and how we cope in those ways. But I also want to make sure that – have we covered all your stuff? I don't want to wrap up before we've forgotten anything. Did you want to share anything else or a story or anything?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to share really quickly before I forget is that I think when we were talking about Human Unlimited, I'm not sure if I mentioned that our classes were donation-based. Well, I think I mentioned that, but where does that money go? Like, that's an important question. People are, like, donating their hard-earned money. What do we do with that? We have a relationship that we're building with the International Institute of Akron so that the money raised from yoga classes goes to support refugee resettlement. So there are refugees here in Akron from Nepal, Burma, Congo, and the money that we donate to them, like from December through the end of January, February, we raised $7,000, and that money
That's
is
amazing.
Going to them. Yeah, it's really, really incredible. So it's like, you know, you feel good, do good, and using our practice not only to help ourselves but to help other people too. So I just wanted to throw that out there really quick. And then to circle back to what we were just talking about, kind of like this practical application of yoga, this is a really great story that, you know, I couldn't have scripted this, but a student sent me a message this morning about the situation. She was here in Highland Square and was about to pull out of her parking space, and all of a sudden this car came out of nowhere, slammed on its brakes right behind her so that she couldn't get out, and this woman jumps out of the car, runs over to her window, and is screaming and yelling at her, and all of a sudden my student just burst into, like, hysterical laughter. And she was like, you know, I wasn't laughing because, what was she saying? She said, you know, this woman, clearly this was a stunt that she had pulled before, but she was like, in any other situation, I would have taken on her anger and whatever was going on with her and felt like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? And she was like, here I am just laughing hysterically because it was ridiculous. And that feeling of self-assuredness and connection to self. And she was like, I didn't need to take on her stuff. I could just look at how ridiculous it was and laugh. And, you know, I wrote back to her, like, you know, in that situation, putting your leg behind your head probably would have done nothing.
Right.
Right? So, like, you know, it's great if that's something that you have in your practice. But what's really powerful are those pieces that you can bring to life out in interactions with other people. So I think, you know, that's something that both you and I strive for in our teaching, is that realness. Like, how do we do something cool with our bodies that makes us feel good, but then take that out into the world and let that season our, like, pepper our interactions with other people, how we relate to the rest of humanity, and make sure that we're being the best version of ourselves and encouraging other people to do that, to be that too.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really great story, and I'm glad that you shared that. I think that it's just another wonderful example of how yoga can impact people and can change, you know, their perspective and their lives. It's not about always the pose, you know. It's about getting out there and living your life and doing it in a way that is really authentic to who you are. And it's all the good and the bad, you know. It's not just the one thing. So I'm glad that you shared that, because I think it's a great – and, you know, kudos to your student for being able to kind of recognize the impact that it's had and how it helps her.
Yeah, absolutely. When I got that in my inbox this morning, I was like, oh, this is amazing. There's so many reasons.
Yeah, it's always wonderful. And I think that's another thing that, you know, I have never really said before, but people do that. Like, reach out to your yoga teachers. Tell them when you like something. Tell them when you don't like something. You know, hey,
absolutely.
I've listened to this playlist for 4 weeks now. Can you get a new playlist? You know what I mean? Or, I really need this in my practice today. I know you do this because I've seen you teach before. I always ask, what do people want today? How are you feeling? How's your body feeling? What do you want to work on?
Yep.
And a lot of times people don't take me up on that. We ask because we care. We care about you, and we care about what you're going to get out of this class today, and we want you to feel completely healed and restored and powerful when you leave our classes. And we need to know, you know, where you want us to begin with that. So be vocal. Go ahead. Tell us what you think. That's why we're asking.
Yep.
I think most teachers really want that. So
yeah, absolutely.
But I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know that you're crazy busy like all the other people in the world. But thank you so much for being with us, and I really appreciate your time and just your sharing of who you are. And I have loved getting to know you over this past year. And there is no doubt in my mind, you know, that people are placed into our lives for a reason. And there are so many things that you post up on Facebook when you're just being real and talking about yourself and your life that really are encouraging and inspirational to me. And so that's why I wanted you to be part of this, because I think that your voice, you know, is a voice of many, and it offers a lot of support. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Really, I'm so grateful to be a part of this and to be your friend. Like, I feel exactly the same way. People are brought into our lives for a reason, and I'm so thankful that you are part of mine.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to the listeners for being here. Again, if you want to reach out to Gretchen, all of her contact info is going to be below, including info for Human Unlimited and for the International Institute of Akron. Feel free to reach out, find her on Facebook, whatever. If something resonated and you were just like, hell yeah, I'm there with you, Gretchen, send her an email, let her know. It's great to have that feedback and those connections. And also check out the teaching schedule on Human Unlimited. You can practice with Gretchen anywhere in the world. Check out their Facebook page and find the times when she's teaching. So thank you so much for joining us, and I'll be back with you on the next one.